Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today. Amen. We are just so grateful to you, Lord, because you always know what's happening, whether we do or not, because a lot of times we don't. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. Good morning, everyone. I don't know if you all know, but my name's Kat. I'm married to Matt, who's the pastor here. And we do switch offs. So he switches off and watches our boys while I come. Our oldest son has special needs. So that's how we do this. And the Lord somehow works through all that.
Amen.
He works through the crazy, the dysfunction, and that's how miracles happen. Miracles don't happen in perfect situations.
That's right.
Miracles happen in the dark, the crazy, and the hard. That's where the miracles happen. That's where the light is brightest. It's most evident right in the middle of the darkness.
Amen.
So, Lord, just give us that courage of your heart to just step into those dark places and just naturally release the light. Because the more we're with you, the more we behold you. Just naturally being with you can just naturally release the light, and we don't even know it. My husband was talking to me yesterday, about something that happened, and he was led by the Spirit, something silly and little, but he didn't even know he was in the Spirit. And that just really resonated in me, because the more we're with our Father, the more we're saying, I want to hear from you. Sometimes we're just walking it out because we're naturally heirs to the King, and we're his children. And as his children, we look like him, we act like him, and we see like him. So when we're with him in worship and encountering him, he just flows through us and we become more like him. So then when we walk into the spaces, we sometimes don't even know that we're releasing the glory. I remember a while back, I went into the post office just to deliver something, and a lady just all of a sudden was like shaking, and she's like, what is going on with you? She's like, I'm feeling something here. And I didn't know what to do with it. I was like, oh, okay. And I walked out, and I was like, wow, Lord, that was you in me being released. And we just need to be in a place where we have the courage to walk out in it, even if sometimes it's not perfect when it happens. The more we practice his presence, the more it becomes natural. So I'm done with all that. I'm going to do announcements, and my husband typed them out for me so I don't have to mess them up. Okay, so I'm going to welcome, greet, thank everyone for coming. I'm so grateful for all of you to be here. I feel like we all have a piece to the part of what the Lord's doing in this place, and me and my husband and the leaders here have been so encouraged by what the Lord is doing in the midst of really hard things. He's just shining through in so many people in this place. So thank you for being here. I'm going to dismiss the kids now. Children grades K to 5 can go to the kids' church, which is right through the double doors. Oh, highlight some ways God was moving during worship. Well, we did all that, so I'm going to skip that part. I literally did it backwards. It just shows you that the Holy Spirit likes to just move things upside down on their heads. That's all right. Okay, so bulletins and song lyrics are available before the service. Sorry, I didn't say that. For the last week or two, we have been experimenting with pre-service prayer. And if you guys see that sign there, says the Well Prayer Room. I made that so you could all see that. That's where the Well Prayer Room is. So before worship, before church, a few of our beautiful leaders are going into there and praying, and this is open to anyone who wants to be in there. And we've noticed it's a simple thing, but it definitely sets us in a place where we're expectant for what the Lord's doing and a little more keyed in to what he wants to do. So it's from 9:30 to 10 on Sunday mornings, and if you want to join in, you can. Personal prayer ministry will continue to be available after the service. So after the service, if you need prayer, we're going to have you move in there, and then either my husband Matt will pray or other leaders. Lately, we've been having some amazing leaders praying back there, and my husband was just really blessed by how there's a lot of people who can flow in the Spirit, and we're just grateful for everyone inner leadership who prays and just steps out and just does that, because it helps me and Matt so much. Genesis in January and February, we have been studying the book of Genesis. I have been reading through Genesis, and I'm just going to say it's a little gross. There's a lot of gross things that happen, but it's important to see that God still moves in very dysfunctional situations. There's some pretty crazy stuff in there. I'm not going to say which chapters, but it's important for us to read this stuff, because I'm just like, Lord, like, these people are so messed up. And the Lord's like still moving, and he's a good father. So it's important we read Genesis, because it shows us all of that and more, because the Holy Spirit likes to all show us personal things for our own lives. This is a self-paced study. Read as much or as little as you want each day. Family meal. This is exciting because we haven't had this for a few weeks or more. After the service on 2/26, this month, we're going to do breakfast themed, which I think is awesome. So please bring a side or dessert to share. And I'm going to quick pray over our offering. The offering basket is over there under the tithes and offering signs. There's also a cool jar that Dave and Donna came up with for Kate, which I think is awesome. It's called Cash and Coins for Kate. So if you have any spare change, just stick it in there. If you want to bless Kate monthly, the information is on the bottom of that jar. All right, I'm going to pray now. So Lord, I just pray over every single person in this room, Lord. I just speak creativity in finances, that you would just start giving people creativity on how to build wealth for the kingdom and for their families, so we are able to give out of abundance, so we are able to bless more people, not only for our own families, but for this community, Lord. I just speak that your Holy Spirit would just start giving us creative ideas in finances specifically. I also pray for every single family in this room for an abundance in relationship, Lord. I just speak in an abundance in relationship, that their love for others and towards them would just increase, that there would just be a way of clarity for all of us to build connection, deeper connection with our families, because that's what's going to change this culture, to have a deep connection and abundance of love for each other in our homes. So I just speak that, and I just break off any dysregulation in relationships, that you would just start moving and bringing us closer together, Lord, so we can just flow out of that and be the families that you want us to be right now, in Jesus' name. And bless the offering too, and that money would just be put in the right places and give us discernment on how we need to help the community better. Amen.
So good morning, everybody. Good morning. So good to have you with us this morning. And we're going to continue today in Genesis. It's been our scripture focus for the 2 months of January and February. And we're going to look again, as we did last week, with the account of Joseph and his brothers. I do believe that Matt intends to share a little bit more about that the next time he teaches. So I hope I'm not in his notes too much. I hope I'm not going where he's going to go, but I had felt that this is what the Lord wanted me to share since the last time I was up here. So we'll just trust the Spirit with that. But before we get into the text for today, I want to remind us of a few of the things and the themes that we've seen and see throughout the book of Genesis. From the beginning in Genesis 3, with the account of Adam and Eve's sin, the initial sin, we saw that there's consequences for decisions and for actions. It's vital that we recognize that these consequences affect both ourselves and others, and that we are also affected by the decisions and actions of others. Not only did Adam and Eve have their own consequences for their sin, but all of creation, and even we ourselves, are still subject to those consequences. We live in a fallen world today. In John 16:33, though, there's good news. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So even though we live in a fallen world and the effects of the and consequences of the original sin are all around us, Jesus has already overcome, and we can overcome with him. We see also in the accounts of Genesis that God sees and plans far beyond the immediate circumstances, far beyond what's going on, the situations that are occurring. Even as he informed Adam and Eve of the consequences that they would suffer for their own sin, he also revealed his plan for redemption, which would come thousands of years later. In Genesis 3, 4, and 15, it says, "To the serpent he said, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the livestock, and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will make your enemies of you and the woman, and of your offspring and her descendant. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.'" Again, he revealed right there that Jesus would be the one that would overcome the curse of the fall. So God knowing and planning far in advance of what's going on is also one of the themes that we're going to see as we look at the story of Joseph and his brothers. But before we get there, though, I want to start with Romans 8, 28 and 29. And those of you that have been here for a while or have heard me share before might know that this is, to me, this is a foundational scripture. This is one that is just kind of affects everything that we do and believe. It says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." It's vital that we recognize and accept that it's not God that causes the hard things in difficult things in our lives. They're the result of the consequences and the decisions and the actions of other people. Sometimes our own decisions, sometimes others, or sometimes even again, all the way back to Adam and Eve. But we need to recognize that while we're forgiven for the wrong decisions that we make, the consequences of those decisions and actions can be kind of like that stone that's thrown into a lake. Those ripples can go down through generations and generations. The consequences of the decisions that we make, even though we're forgiven, can carry on for generations. Now, how God causes things to work together for good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose is another theme that we're going to be able to see in the story of Joseph. When Matt ended last week, if you weren't here, I recommend that you go back to the podcast and hear the message. When he ended last week, he encouraged us and challenged us to do three things. He wanted us to look back. To look back and see if there were times in our lives that we may have been hurt or offended, that we may have been hindered or held back from walking into our calling. And that caused us to be hurt or offended. And then when we look back, we need to forgive those who were responsible. I'd like to share a few things that I've learned about forgiveness. It's important, though, that I make it clear that even though these are things I've learned, it doesn't mean I get it right. They say that knowing is half the battle. Well, that means that doing is the other half and an even more important part. So when we look back, it's important that we need to look back and not go back. We need to look back at what happened so that we can let go, not to relive it. Not to live in the past of what happened. Matt encouraged us to speak the words, "I forgive," and say the name of the person that we forgive or the people that we forgive. And that's another key to forgiveness in our lives. We don't necessarily need to tell people that we forgive them. Often it's not even necessary for them to know that they need to be forgiven by us. True forgiveness is first between ourselves and God. And Jesus gave us that perfect example when on the cross he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." We don't need to tell them what they did. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, "If you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses." That's how vital it is to live a life of forgiveness. To understand how that works, why we can't be forgiven if we don't forgive, we need simply to understand that unforgiveness itself is sin. Unforgiveness is sin. And every sin that we acknowledge, confess, and repent of, we can be forgiven of. But if we choose to hold on to unforgiveness, we won't be forgiven of the sin that we're choosing. James 4:17 says, "For the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin." So to choose to hold on to unforgiveness is a potentially deadly mistake. You know, and on the reverse side of forgiving others being between ourselves and God, when we ourselves need to be forgiven by somebody, it's vital that we apologize, that we go to them and say that we're sorry, not that we try to make our own case. You know, how often do we go to somebody and say, "I'm sorry, but you," and then we explain to them what their part was? You know, that really, if our intention is to point out what they did wrong so that we can justify what we did wrong, then that's not really being sorry. I have a thing that I like to say: there should be no sorry buts in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
The final thing I want to say about forgiveness, at least at this point, is that obviously forgiveness is a choice. We need to choose to forgive. And the key is not only if we will choose, but it's also when will we choose to forgive. You know, often if we're hurt or offended, if things are tough, we kind of want to wait to see if we get out on the other side, if things work out okay. And now that we're all good, once we've made it through, then I guess we can forgive. Again on the cross, in the midst of his pain and suffering, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." We need to recognize and accept that we will be hurt by the actions, words, and decisions of other people. It's going to happen. It will happen. And we can't wait until we see how it works out. And we should not wait until we're in the midst of that pain, because humanly it's too hard then. We need to choose now, not only to forgive what has happened, but to also choose right now to forgive what will happen. To do that, we need to know and accept how much we ourselves have been forgiven by God. So the second thing that Matt encouraged us to do then last week was to look around, to see if there was any times or places in our lives where maybe we were offended or hurt because someone was blessed in place of us or ahead of us, and we weren't. We need to learn to celebrate the blessings and promotions of others. You know, you don't know. Who knows if their promotion is going to end up benefiting us? And we're going to see how that's going to work out later too. Jesus says that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so it really doesn't matter what order it comes in, only that we all get there together. And the third thing Matt asked us to do is to look at Jesus. You know, in every situation and every circumstance, he will not only show us the way, but he is the way. In Romans 8, 28 and 29, the good that God causes is that we are conformed to the image of Christ. We need to look at Jesus so we begin to look like Jesus. So as we get ready to go back to the story of Joseph and his brothers, we'll do a quick review of some of the things we saw. We know that Joseph was the youngest of the sons of Jacob, and that Jacob loved Joseph more than his brothers. And that, of course, caused tension between Joseph and his brothers. We know that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and that he ended up in Egypt. And we know that he ended up in prison in Egypt, not for something he did wrong, but actually because he stood for what was right. I want to fast forward to the end of the account of Joseph and his brothers. It was after Joseph was released from prison. He interpreted dreams for some of those in prison. And by interpreting a dream for the Pharaoh, Joseph was made ruler, second in command of all of Egypt. But it was after Joseph was made ruler of Egypt. It was after Jacob and all of his clan moved to Egypt so that they could make it through the famine that was in the land. And even after Jacob had died. So in Genesis 50, 15 to 21, we see the account we're going to focus on today. Genesis 50, 15 to 21 says, When Joseph's brothers had seen that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent instructions to Joseph, saying, "Your father commanded us before he died, saying, 'This is what you shall say to Joseph: Please forgive, I beg you, the offense of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the offense of the servants of God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to keep many people alive, so that therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." And before we get to the point of what God did to cause all the things to work together for good, I want to first look at the response of the brothers. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." Now, the brothers expected that Joseph's response would be according to the way they would have responded. That they would have that he would have an eye toward retribution and revenge, which is really what they deserved. And I have to ask, how often might we be guilty of doing that same type of thing? How often do we unfairly transfer our feelings and our impressions, the way we think other people would feel, onto others? Only God knows the heart, so we need to be careful that we don't judge other people by the way we feel. Fortunately for the brothers, through all that Joseph had experienced and endured, he had become conformed to the image of Christ. He said that, "I'm not in God's place," but in reality, being conformed to the image of Christ, he offered unconditional forgiveness just like God. He gave grace. So as his word says, God caused all things that happened to Joseph to work together for good. And not only for Joseph's good, not only to bring him to that place of authority and leadership, not only to conform him to the image of Christ, but also for the brothers and even for the entire nation of Israel, that they would be provided for and live through the famine. What the brothers meant for evil, God meant and caused to work for good. You know, when Joseph was in the cistern before he was sold into slavery, God saw far beyond that moment and that situation. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We need to trust God's plan, knowing that He sees far beyond the present situation and the present circumstance we're in. You know, there's a key to Romans 28 and 29 working for us and in us. In order for God to be able to cause all things to work together for our good, we need to love God. It says, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So we need to love God regardless of the situation. In spite of the situation, we need to love Him. In Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13, God continues saying, after He says He has plans for our good, He says, "Then you will call upon Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." We need to love God in spite of the situation and circumstance. If we are called according to His purpose, then we need to trust His plan and His purpose, regardless of how it might look. If we're in a deep, deep valley, if we're in a prison, we need to love God and trust His plan. He sees far beyond our present circumstance. He sees beyond the situation we're in right now. He knows the plans that He has for us. Remember, we're supposed to look at Jesus. In John 5:19, Jesus Himself says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does the same way." We need to look at Jesus so that we can see what God's doing in the situation. So again this week, I want to re-challenge and re-encourage you to do those things. I want to encourage you to look back, but not to go back, but to let go. And there's one additional thing about forgiving what's behind us that I think is critical, that many of us struggle with maybe more even than forgiving others, is that the most important person, the most crucial forgiveness we need to do is to be able to forgive ourselves. We can't walk forward in God's plan and God's purpose if we continue to punish ourselves and hold ourselves responsible for the mistakes we made. God says that He no longer remembers our sins. And it might not be humanly possible for us to forget, but we have to at least believe that what Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," fully covers and pays for those things. We have to let go.
Yes.
We need to look around. And rather than taking offense at others who are blessed and are moving forward and being promoted, we need to celebrate for them and with them. You know, we don't know that perhaps they're going ahead for our benefit. Perhaps they will be like Joseph, the ones that will be there to provide and protect and preserve us. Finally, we need to look at Jesus. Regardless of what the present situation or circumstance is, we need to trust that God already knows and has seen and planned far into the future. We need to trust the plans that He has for us. We need to trust that He will cause everything to work together for our good as we love Him and seek Him and submit to His purpose for us. So today, if your circumstances have you weary, if the burdens of life are heavy, in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I'd like to close, as I often do, with the blessing from Scripture, not necessarily from my own words, from Numbers 6:24 to 26. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace." Amen. Go in that peace.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my